Jerry Bader Show, 949. Oh, there's something else I want to talk about before 11 o'clock. The way people are freaking out that if the All-Star balloting was done today, Ryan Braun would be in the All-Star game. And people can't, what? How the? Well, that can't. I want to address that. I mean, I've heard that everywhere yesterday. We did not get to it. But I want to take that up, how people are just flipping out. That right now, Braun is in third place in the All-Star voting, and Ryan Braun, were it to end today, would be an All-Star on the All-Star team. Jason, I won't reveal your answer. I will later when I take up the topic. What do you think the chances are of Ryan Braun being an All-Star in the final balloting? 0 to 100%. Early balloting, he would be in right now. Really? All right, we'll address that later. It continues to be the big story in politics, the VA scandal. Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki announced today he would oust senior leaders at the embattled Phoenix VA ahead of a private meeting with President Obama, where the two are expected to have a serious conversation about whether Shinseki himself can stay in the job. They were to meet starting about a half an hour ago. Obviously, we haven't heard anything yet, in the Oval Office, 9:15 our time. Obama, in an interview, said he planned to ask Shinseki whether he was prepared and has the capacity to fix sweeping problems in the VA's nationwide health care system. The president has faced mounting calls from members of both parties to remove Shinseki. That's not the answer. Now, I'm not saying it shouldn't happen, but I'm saying it won't fix the problem because the problem is a systemic one with the VA. Kim Strassel deals with this in today's Wall Street Journal in her Potomac Watch. Big Labor's VA chokehold. I want to share this with you. We know with certainty that there is at least one person the Department of Veterans Affairs is serving well. That would be the president of Local Lodge 1798 of the National Federation of Federal Employees. The Federal Labor Relations Authority, the agency that mediates federal labor disputes, kind of the public employees NLRB, earlier this month ruled in favor of this union president in a dispute over whether she need bother to show up at her workplace. The Veteran Affairs Medical Center in Martinsburg, West Virginia, according to FLRA documents, this particular VA employee is 100% official time. That's DA parlance for federal employees who work every hour of every workday for their union at taxpayer expense. In April 2012, this VA employee broke her ankle and declared that she now wanted to do her non-work for the VA entirely from the comfort of her home. Veterans Affairs attempted a compromise. Perhaps she could pretty please come in 2 days a week? She refused and complained to the FLRA that the VA was interfering with her right to act as a union official. The VA failed to respond to the complaint in the required time, perhaps too busy caring for actual veterans, you know. And so the union boss summarily won her case. The VA battle is only just starting, but any real reform inevitably ends with a fight over organized labor. Think of it as a federal version of Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, and other states where elected officials have attempted to rein in the public sector unions that have hijacked government agencies for their own purpose. Fixing the VA requires first breaking labor's grip, and the unions are already girding for that fight. Federal labor unions are generally weak by comparison to state public sector unions, though the VA might be an exception. The VA boasts one of the largest federal workforces, and VA Secretary Eric Shinseki bragged in 2010 that two-thirds of it is unionized. That's a whopping 200,000 union members represented by the likes of AFSCME and Service Employees International Union. And this is government-run health care, something unions know a lot about from organizing health workers in the private sector. Compared with most D.C. unions, which organize for better parking spots, the VA houses a serious union shop. The Bush administration worked to keep federal union excesses in check. Obama administration officials have viewed contract negotiations as a way to reward union allies. Federal unions can't bargain for wages or benefits, but the White House has made it up to them. Manhattan Institute scholar Diana Furtgott-Roth recently detailed Office of Personnel Management numbers obtained through a Freedom of Information request by Representative Phil Gingrey, a Georgia Republican. On May 25th, Ms. Furtgott-Roth reported on MarketWatch that the VA in 2012 paid, now listen to this, I know it gets boggy a little bit, but just listen. Now, the VA in 2012 paid 258 employees to be 100% full-time, receiving full pay and benefits to do only union work. 17 had six-figure salaries up to $132,000. According to the Office of Personnel Management, the VA paid for 988,000 hours of official time, union work only time, in fiscal 2011. A million hours of union work at taxpayer expense, a 23% increase from 2010. Moreover, as Senators Rob Portman and Tom Coburn noted in a 2013 letter to Mr. Shinseki, the vast majority of these official timers were nurses, instrument technicians, pharmacists, dental assistants, and therapists who were being paid to do union work even as the VA tried to fill hundreds of jobs and paid overtime to other staff. Are you getting a sense here? As for patient case backlogs, the unions have helped in their creation. Contract negotiated work rules over job classifications and duties and seniorities are central to the bureaucracy that fails veterans. More damaging has been the union hostility to any VA attempt to give veterans access to alternative sources of care, which unions consider a direct job threat. They don't want it farmed out to the private sector. And yet, they have these rules that are responsible for the backup. They create a backlog, and then they won't allow a pressure valve in the private sector. The American Federation of Government Employees puts out regular press releases blasting any outsourcing of VA work to non-VA union members. Meantime, they're professionals working 100% of the time for the union. The VA scandal is now putting an excruciating spotlight on the most politically sensitive agency in D.C., and the unions are worried about where this is headed. They watched in alarm as an overwhelming 390 House members, including 160 Democrats, voted on May 21st to give the VA more power to fire senior executives, a shot over the rank and file's bow. They watched in greater alarm as Mr. Shinseki said the VA would be letting more veterans seek care at private facilities in areas where the department's capacity is limited. This is a first step toward a reform being drafted by Senators Coburn, John McCain, and Richard Burr, which would give veterans a card allowing them health services at facilities of their choosing. The union fear is that Democrats, in a tough election year, will be pressured toward reforms that break labor's VA stronghold. Not surprisingly, Senator Bernie Sanders, Vermont, chairman of Veterans Affairs Committee, has promised his own reform. Odds are it will echo the union's call to simply throw more money at the problem. Any such bill should be viewed as Democrats, once again, putting the interests of their union allies ahead of veterans. That stuff is just stunning. And it's exactly the type of excesses that Scott Walker fixed in Wisconsin. And that other, as she points out, Midwest governors have attempted to do. The same type of stranglehold that unions had on government in Wisconsin that he broke. I don't know if he's planning on running for president. If he does run for president, no matter what the status of the VA is a year and a half from now, he now has a signature issue. I fixed this crap in Wisconsin. I can fix it in Washington. Oh, do we have a what is right, what is wrong topic for you. At 10:06, it's 9:58.
Jerry Bader Show.